The title of the message this morning is Mission of Evangelism. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. I think as we go through this morning, I think you'll see where the Lord would direct us, and this is a very important subject. 1 Corinthians 9, 16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we ask you to direct our minds and hearts this morning to your word. And we also pray, dear Lord, that as we hear the word of God preached, as we look at the scriptures, we pray that it would turn our hearts and minds and dear Lord, toward the very important privilege we have and yet also task. And that is carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ and witnessing to a lost and dying world. Well, thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. The subject this morning is close to my heart, has been for many, many years, and I think it's every pastor, every missionary, every evangelist is always certainly the driving force within their ministries and preaching the gospel and sharing with folks the Lord Jesus Christ. But not always just for preachers and missionaries and pastors, but also for every child of God. Because the Lord does give certain of us, like pastors and so forth, a particular position in leadership in these matters. But folks, a leader has to have people to follow, doesn't he? And so the people who follow are also a part of the work, and it's just not the head leader or the one that's leading. It's the one that God has laid the responsibility on. It's all of us. It's a collective work. It's like a team effort that we have and as a church. And to preach the gospel, to share Christ Jesus with all that we find. So it is the message that we call missions. We also use the word evangelism. And so it's taking the lost, the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost souls who've never heard. And the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 19 verse 10, he said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And clearly we understand that he's talking about those who have not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, have not believed in him, who have not put their faith and trust in him, who are not his children, yet he wants them to be. It is Christ's desire that every person on this earth, for he says, whosoever will may come. There's no restriction upon coming to the gospel, except that a person must come in belief and accepting it and receiving it as his own. So the gospel itself is contingent on giving salvation is contingent on the fact that a person would believe it and receive it. God's plan of salvation is evangelism. The gospel is evangelism. And it's to save souls that are naturally headed for a devil's hell. It's the message of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We continue in John chapter 3, if you'll turn with me there. In John chapter 3, notice what else Jesus said after he had spoken the words that we know so well in chapter 3, verse 16. He said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then he continues and says, "This is the condemnation, that light's coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Verse 36 finishes and is the last verse in this particular chapter, chapter 3. And it's a summation of what he has previously said in speaking to Nicodemus, who was the Pharisee who came to him by night, and realizing and recognizing the fact